from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
What's up? I appreciate that.
Nothing. Little camp update as we continue to watch practice. We told you Trent McDuffie will come join us after practice to do an interview with our shows. We're the only show broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp. But Wanya Morris did leave practice early about 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
Whatever Hill in the front of the cart, same thing as always. But for a competition that you and I were already saying seemed like it was over, if Wanya misses a couple of days, Gold, well, then it's really over, right? I mean...
Oh, no doubt. I think that's a fair assessment. But also, what's unfortunate, too, is he's been, as we discussed the first half hour of the show, playing in different spots, Wanya Morris. You know, he's going to be a big factor this season, and hopefully this is something pretty minor. But if you're just talking about the starting left tackle job, yeah, it plays a role if you're not available. And we'll see if he's back at practice, I guess, to be on Sunday, and it's just something really small. But they had him at left guard today. They've had him at right guard. We know he plays some left tackle. Andy Heck, the Chiefs offensive line coach, is going to have him playing so many different spots, every spot but virtually, except for center. So he's ready to go. And so don't like seeing him get carted off, or at least going up in a cart.
No, you want the flexibility for sure. Not we're just talking about the competition end of it, which you and I already thought was maybe over anyway. Mm-hmm. So it certainly doesn't change much in that regard. But, yeah, I he'd be tough loss for the depth. Like, they could use a good swingman, because Allegretti was that for them last year and started the damn Super Bowl for them last year doing it. I mean, it's hard to have that kind of depth, because at some point, as you pointed out, someone on the offensive line will be down. But that's the only injury-related update, other than they seemingly just throw to Jared Wiley and Justin Ross in every single red zone situation.
Look. You want some bigger-bodied wide receivers and receivers in general.
So y'all believe it when I see it, if they're actually going to throw to big guys in the red zone.
Yeah. I think they have tried, actually, in the past to utilize that. Jody Fortson. Thinking of injuries, guy couldn't stay healthy. Have to pivot. Like, I think if Wiley, as we had him on last week, if he's going to have a true impact rookie season, it's the red zone. And it's racking up some touchdowns. I don't think he's getting 500 yards. I think it could be 200 to 300 max, but maybe he has 3, 4, 5 touchdowns. That'd be a huge win his rookie season. You know, as far as Justin Ross, I mean, we'll see if he makes the team. I mean, he's the sixth or seventh receiver on this team.
Yeah, if he makes the team, it means that Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney probably didn't. And that he needs to still beat out Nico Remigio as a player that.
And I think Nico Remigio,
really,
I mean, the way things are trending, I almost.
He's a four-phase special team player.
I almost
too.
Would be really be surprised if Remigio's not on the team. The way things are trending right now, man.
Me too. I think he's more versatile in the sense that he does a lot of special team stuff that Justin Ross. He does special teams better than Justin Ross does them at the moment. So we'll see. I mean, it's very early still in this process. We're still a week away from an actual preseason game, and I think Sunday will mark, what, Sunday or Monday will mark a month?
Yeah, this is practice 11 today, I think, if I was counting correctly.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right. Meanwhile, at other camps, you'll be shocked, Alex, when I tell you which team suffered a major injury before. You'll be shocked to learn it's the Chargers again.
Man.
Justin Herbert yesterday, it was announced that he had an injury to his plantar fascia and is going to miss time in August. They were vague-ish on that timeline. I can't, once again, that's going to bug him all year. Like, what do you think? You're just going to hurt your plantar fascia right before the season starts, come back in, find all your rhythm with all your brand-new wide receiver crew, I don't know, another damn offensive coordinator probably for all I know because I got a new damn head coach. Everything's different for Herbert again. New wide receivers, new coaching staff, now a hurt plantar fascia. That is the most cursed franchise. We just talked about Mike Trout and their inability to keep him healthy. I don't know what the medical training staff is doing for the Chargers most of the time, but it's a laughingstock. And this is great news for the Chiefs. You don't want people to get hurt. I like it when it's Herbert, Mahomes, and they're healthy and they do battle because Mahomes is going to come out on top anyway. But, I mean, this just makes the division easier if Herbert's going to be off kilter the entire year.
Yeah, I mean, this is typical Chargers. No matter how many times the regime changes, training staff changes, they have big-time injuries preseason in training camp. Usually it's more on the defensive side. It's the Derwin James types, et cetera. This time it's your quarterback. And week one, they claim he's going to be available. We'll see. I think that I'm a little skeptical when you play a 17-game schedule. If he's not near 100%, I could see them not playing week one against the Raiders. And if he doesn't play against the Raiders, is that an upset game where suddenly the Raiders win and that takes a win away from the Chargers, who are the only team, by the way, that in my opinion, that have any chance to possibly make things interesting. I think the Chiefs are running away with this division. But Justin Herbert, you're right, in a plantar fascia injury doesn't seem like something that's just going to be great all year and have no problem whatsoever.
You can have surgery on it, and it's a bit more repair-like than the opposite version of it. So maybe a little gold, but it's still a surgery before a season in what is already a tumultuous season. When Alex Smith was here, and I'm sure you remember, he talked about what it was finally like to have the same head coach, the same offensive coordinator, the same scheme, the same wide, like to know what you're walking into. His top two weapons from last year are not the same gold. His offensive coordinator is different. His head coach is different. There's just a massive change and shift in what he's getting again. And so that's what we're looking at. When you factor in that everything is changing and now he's going to miss 2.5 weeks of camp, that hurts. I just feel like they're going to be off to a slow start or something weird. What do they face the Chargers? Did they face them early?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to pull up the Chargers schedule. You and I were on the same page. I was thinking the same thing. I was searching.
Is he going to still be off kilter when they start slow for a month?
So here's the start of the season for the Chargers. They open up, as I said, against the Raiders. Then they go to Carolina, go to Pittsburgh, and they host the Chiefs September 29th. So that would be the fourth game into the season. By then, you would think Herbert is fully healthy and good to go.
Sure, but they might still be out of sync again.
Could be.
New offense, new coach, new quarterback. I mean, you can study.
I mean, I'm not high on the Chargers this year anyway. I think they're a year away of Harbaugh. I think Harbaugh will get it turned around because he's a very good coach. He's won everywhere he's been. But not this year. They needed to move some pieces out of the organization, and they did, that were aging. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, for example. So this year, the roster, they got a lot of holes. There's some issues there. A year from now, let's have a different conversation. So this year, I don't really consider them much of a threat. But because of their quarterback and having Justin Herbert, you would still consider them the closest, only because of the quarterback. And now Justin Herbert is going to be iffy heading into week one at best.
Yeah. And that's a problem for them, especially because they're the only competition in the division. The other two are a joke because look at it. I mean, just...
Well, look at their quarterback situation. Bo Nix, rookie, unproven.
He hasn't even won the...
And then Gardner Minshew is starting in Vegas.
Yeah, and I was about to say, Bo Nix hasn't even won the job yet. Like, it's going to come down to the wire.
He's got this guy. He
might lose to Zach Wilson.
That's Drew's guy. That's Drew's guy. Yeah, Zach Wilson's there.
I'll just tell you, if you can't just, like, day two beat out Zach Wilson, then yeah, there's a limit to what I'm going to expect in you in year one. You can't beat out Zach Wilson. And the rumor there, it doesn't feel the same as it does in Washington, where they were seemingly trying to, like, play coy for a little bit, but everybody internally knew. They're honestly splitting snaps between Bo Nix and Zach Wilson. They didn't just give the job to Bo Nix. And he was supposed to be more of a project, but like, project? He's 27 years old. I know that's probably...
Look, I think there's a chance that the issue is, as we discussed with Verderam yesterday, is the wide receiver. You get Cortland Sutton, and then it's Marvin Mims. You know, they drafted another rookie. I can't think of the name off the top of my head. They drafted another rookie there in Denver. Oh, to go with Bo Nix, his guy that the deep threat, tall, My goodness.
I can't remember his name.
Oh, that's going to drive me crazy. We talked about that times in Kansas City. They drafted him to go with Bo Nix because they both played at Oregon. Starts with a T, I believe, and that's driving me crazy. I'll let you Google that. I think you're searching it right now.
Those draft picks.
Anyway, the wide receiver
Troy
room.
Troy Franklin. Franklin.
Thank you, Q. There we go, Q.
Coming through.
Yeah, look, that could develop into something. Does Bo Nix have a chance to be better than Drake May's rookie season? I think so, because Drake May's in a horrific spot. I think Bo Nix could have a better season than Drake May. Is he going to have a better year than Caleb Williams with the receivers and weapons that he has? Plus,
no.
Caleb Williams looks the part. Caleb Williams could be one of the top five best quarterbacks in a year or so in the NFL. I mean, honestly, if all goes well, that's the vibe and the hype, certainly, that is around Caleb Williams. Bo Nix, there's good thing for him, zero expectation. Nobody's like...
Yeah, everyone's looking at, like, four other quarterbacks. Jaden McDaniels has more pressure than
him. Daniels, yeah.
Yeah. Or McDaniels, yeah. Jaden Daniels has more pressure than him. Caleb Williams obviously has way more pressure than him. And I guess the only guy who has less pressure than him in the first-round picks is Penix.
Right,
because he's not the starter. Because Kirk Cousins. I'll never be able to look back at that draft and make that make sense in my brain.
We're not going to know for 3 years if it even has a chance to work.
If you loved Penix like that, maybe it turns into Jordan Love, right, where 3 years from now, they're just still in awe of him and give him this massive contract. You have to factor in everything. What matters the most in the NFL for success early is surrounded by maximum talent and your quarterback cheap so you can pay any... Like, think about what they could have bought this offseason with that Kirk Cousins money for Michael Penix Jr. By the time Michael Penix Jr. starts, they'll be paying him, not other things. They're setting the man up. It's the gig is they're setting him up for failure in a lot of ways. Maybe it won't work out that way, and then let's get lucky.
I don't know if they're setting Penix up for failure. It's just this guy's not going to have an opportunity to really play for maybe at least 2 years. Best case scenario, Kirk Cousins is not leaving after this year unless it would have to be a really strange scenario playing out with the coaching staff not getting along to where he would be traded after this year if he had a good year. Like, it would have to be something really weird for Cousins not to at least be there for 2 years. So we're talking about in year three, Penix starting, you know?
Yeah.
Sitting behind him for 1 year is fine. It's the financial issue. I mean, it's also just screwing the Falcons over. I just don't get it. And I think they're going to win their division this year. Don't get me wrong. I just
– Yeah.
We all talked after the draft. I think everybody, for the most part, is – in agreement on the decision and how ridiculous it was with the draft pick there for the Falcons.
Some of this is projection because the previous coach, as correctly pointed out by Phantom over on Twitch, the previous coach, they drafted in the top 10, top 5, drafted Bijan Robinson. They were like, hey, stay in pass protection.
Arthur
like,
Smith.
What are you doing?
I told you I couldn't stand that
and
guy.
And then stopped putting Kyle Pitts out on routes. I'm like, what are you guys doing? You're so stupid.
Could not stand Arthur Smith.
Why do you keep taking freakish athletic players and then you're like, what if we didn't have you do anything freakish or athletic? What if we just had you, like, stay in and try to, like, pass protect?
Your guy, Kyle Pitts, no excuses after this year, right?
Oh, no. No, he'll have Kirk. No, he'll have zero excuses.
This is it. And he's probably going to have a really good year.
He had 1,000 yards his rookie year. I think he's probably going to be, like, tight end three for fantasy purposes.
He could be.
Now, I drafted Kyle Pitts last year. And
with Kirk Cousins, I think it's a great thing for Kyle Pitts. Having Kirk Cousins there is a really – look how Kirk Cousins
– Or not –
Hockenson.
Yeah, Hockenson, yeah. I was like, wait, who did he – Hockenson. Yeah, he'll use his tight end. I wouldn't worry about that. No, it's just the Chargers are a cursed and will forever curse franchise. But they're mostly cursed due to their own doing. They do it to themselves. They've yet to figure out how to take care of someone and their health.
Chiefs practice still ongoing in front of us. Now they've kind of separated it into some defensive unit drills in front of us. Trent McDuffie working with Brian Cook just on some drills, and he is expected to join us after practice. My guess is maybe 10, 15 minutes left
in
practice today. And then once they get done with their stretching and all that, we'll have McDuffie join us. We're going to hear from Andy Reid. We're going to have Nate Taylor from The Athletic. So we got a lot still ahead on the Chiefs front throughout the show today. We'll maybe get an update on the injury status of Wanya Morris to find out at least what area are we talking about. I don't think we're going to get something definitive, but flat out, but maybe we know, is it a leg injury, is it an upper body injury, something like that when it comes to Wanya Morris. But let's talk some Royals baseball a little bit before we do have practice wrap up here at Chiefs camp. The bullpen, we all know, has been kind of musical chairs. It's been, hey, matchup driven, and I think that is still ultimately what they're going to be. But you think it's okay to already make a switch?
So you and I have been we've been on the same page. So I can't agree that I can't say for sure if we'll be on the same page now. You and I have agreed that all the relievers are the same. switching out the, like, this guy should close, no, that guy should close, that only has one result. You like the guy for a couple of games, he has one bad outing, and then you want to bury the guy. Doesn't matter if his name's Schreiber or Stratton or Long or Bubich or MacArthur. You're just going to want to try to bury the guy. And yet here I am telling you, just let Ursig close and see if he can do it. Because the only chance they have in the bullpen, I think, of a dominant closer this season is Ursig. And maybe you'll find out that you're in the same position you're in now, which is it's matchup driven and you got to wait and see and use guys here and move them around. Ursig has a chance to be a dominant closer because he throws 100 miles an hour and it moves. And he's done it a little bit up to this point behind what was the league's best closer. So maybe that was the only reason he wasn't closing in Oakland. Just throw him in the role. Let him close every game for the next 3 weeks. Put him in every high-leverage situation, the most high-leverage situation, for the next 3 weeks, and let's just find out. Trial by fire time. Because if he's got it, then you really do solve the biggest remaining question of your team, which is if you are up one and 1-2-3 or 2-3-4 of the order's coming up, who do you pitch? If it's Ursig, then you can take one question out of that for you.
Look, the 100 miles an hour on the corner, man, nobody else we've really seen that from. In the pen. He presents something. You know, Hunter Harvey has some strikeout stuff, but we haven't seen that from him. My guess is it could be a scenario where it's not too long before he is suddenly fully in the ninth inning. But I, as you laid out, it's important that we have this idea, like, yes, who gets the save next to their name? The guy that pitches in the ninth. But if it is the eighth inning and it's there's one out in the
and
eighth.
It's Ramirez and Kwan.
Then
Ursig.
Yeah, Ursig. You know, I mean, right now, I don't want to get too carried away because it's one outing for Ursig in a Royals uniform. I mean, right? One outing.
No, but I did go back and look at some of his stuff from Oakland.
It was really promising. Do I think that could we fast forward in 2 weeks and he's clearly the ninth? Yeah, I think so. I don't know if they're going to just do that right now.
I'm saying just do it.
But
because
tonight,
you only have 6 weeks to or 8 weeks to figure it out.
I get it.
You know? And if you want to matter in the postseason, this isn't just about winning now. It's about winning for the long haul.
It is.
That's the fear, because you do also have to win now.
He's most likely to end up in that role now. I think that's fair to say. I think MacArthur is going to be seventh inning guy, maybe eighth inning at times. And that's probably where you're at. Now, do I think that out of 100, well, you know, not 100, 25 more, 30 more save opportunities that exist, do I think all 25 are going to Ursic? No. That's just not usually how that works. But do I think that 85 or 90% of them could go to one individual? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, again, I just think you, because of the timing, they did what we thought for a while. They tried MacArthur. Okay, he's not panning out. So we're still going to use MacArthur in leverage, but sometimes it's going to be Long, or sometimes it's going to be Bubich, or sometimes it's going to be anybody else in between. Hunter Harvey, obviously, is in the mix for this, too, now that they traded for him. But because of the timeline, I think the Royals are a playoff team. But in order to get to the playoffs, two things have to happen the rest of the way. They're going to have to close out some games they didn't close out in the early portion of the schedule. And if they want to win in the postseason, they're going to have to close out some of those games in tight situations when they hand things over from an excellent starting pitching staff. And I feel like you want to start knowing that now. And if you just throw Ursig in it now, if it's not right after 2.5 weeks, go back to matchup. It's not right after three, back to matchup. And you still have all of September to use Harvey here because his numbers are good. Use Ursig there because his numbers are good. Use Bubich here because his number and do it the way you were doing it anyway. But I think you want to know now, while the schedule is at least slightly lighter than what we know is coming in late August here and early September when Vern ran through the schedule for us, where it's 20 straight games against playoff teams.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, just I think they already in their mind have whittled it down to, you know, probably. To me, the only true majority, like, however you want to break down the saves the rest of the way, the majority of them are probably going to Ursig. Then I would list Harvey, and then, believe it or not, Bubich. You know, like, I think it's that's kind of where this thing is going. Like, Bubich might have, five to ten opportunities max to save the rest of the year. Harvey, 5 to 10 max. Then Ursig gets the remaining 15 or whatever. However you want to break it down. Like,
and it's probably not even that many.
No,
it's probably, like, 25 total save opportunities, and it's got to be, like, 10,
because if you think
five.
The Royals are getting to 90 wins, you know, how you know however many more, you know, and you're not, every win is not a save opportunity,
nope,
as
like
we know. So, yeah, I think it'll sort out, but the stuff of Ursig is really exciting. You might have heard the horn behind us. That means practice is done now. They still are doing their talk post-practice. Sometimes it takes 2 minutes, sometimes it takes 10 minutes. Andy also is expected to speak, so we'll keep an eye on that cue if Andy ends up at the podium quicker than when the players are actually done. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then we are expected to have Trent McDuffie join us. Sometimes they split off into some team or individual stuff before they actually bring a player over.
Little behind the scenes look. Should we break here? Should we, just in case?
Not yet.
Trent McDuffie comes a few minutes early?
I don't think so.
All right, fine.
It's up to you, man. We can wait another minute or two. Just depends if they're gonna if they're actually done or they're gonna split off. But
it's always impossible to tell. It's a guessing game, just like the rest of us. The quarterbacks are all going off somewhere, but some of the players are definitely peeling off the field. So I'd say there's a pretty good chance that a player will join us, and that player is Trent McDuffie.
Text line says you need to go get a snow cone now. Is what it says.
Actually, Kona Ice offered to bring it to us today.
I think they're hopefully they're that's the plan.
I believe that they are.
Multiple people have texted in today. I don't know if you saw. They were wondering about the red truck. Yeah, we do not have a red truck this year. They wanted they're blaming you. You see that?
Why? What did I do?
Multiple people have blamed you on the text
line.
Yeah.
What the hell did I do?
Let me see if I can go back and find it. It says, did Cody, let's see, why don't you have the red truck? Did Cody mess it up?
I did not mess it up.
Someone says, did Cody blame the truck for his wife's ankle getting out of place?
I did not. I mean, that definitely is what happened. But
that was over a year ago,
It wasn't the truck's fault that she broke her ankle. And, you know, I didn't do anything. I drove the truck safe, responsibly, smart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I did anything wrong or nefarious. I'd like to admit that I'm innocent here.
No, I wish we had the red truck. Trust me, the truck was great. But, no, Cody did not ruin it. The truck was returned in perfect condition. It was all good, man.
They seem very happy with it. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you get a truck, sometimes you don't.
That's true.
Thanks to our friends from Max Motors for giving us that track last year.
All right, we are broadcasting from Chiefs Camp. Coming up next, we're expected to not only hear from Andy Reid, we're expected to be joined by Chiefs corner Trent McDuffie right here on Cody and Gold.
Chiefs Kingdom, this is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, we are back here in St. Joe. Chiefs practice just wrapped up here on a Friday, and we are broadcasting inside the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities, and excited to be joined by the Chiefs corner, Trent McDuffie, here on 610 Sports Radio. All our Chiefs player interviews brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip today. Trent, we were talking the last time we had you on the show 2 years ago, rookie season.
Yeah.
It was your first camp and everything. You fast forward, you got an All-Pro, you got a couple rings. You know, most people think you're one of the top two, three corners in football. I mean, have you had a chance just to step back a little bit just 2 years ago where you were at?
Nah, man. I mean, when I look at, like, my off seasons after a season, it's back to work, go, go, go. I mean, I take a week off and then it's back training, so... I mean, every time I come back to St. Joe's, it's like another year that I'm just like, dang, I am grateful to be in this position. I'm grateful to be back. But, shoot, it feels like it was rookie year just like 2 weeks ago. So things come quick, that's for sure.
Yeah, they start looking to you instead, right? You're like, wait, I'm in charge now? I don't know about that. Well, especially with, like, Snead leaving and stuff like that, there is, like, leadership in certain groups. Do you 100%. Take on a lot of that with the corner group?
Yeah. I think, honestly, this year has been – a chance for me to really step out of my shell, you know what I mean, and bring in these young guys, bring in these new guys that have no idea what Chiefs is about, you know what I mean, the standard we've set the past 2 years, going back to back, trying to go for a third. I mean, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of eyes on who we are, and being able to be a guy that just says, you know what, block out that outside noise, block out everything before you came here, like, this is what it's about. Follow my lead, and we're going to be all right.
Is it weird not having LJ back there, though?
Yeah, I love LJ. I mean, I think everybody knows me. LJ came really tight last year, but, I mean, I'm super happy for him, what he has going on. I mean, his new journey, I'm super stoked for him, and I think this just allows, like I said, for me and just other guys to come in and show Chiefs Kingdom what we're about.
Spags was talking about the unit the other day, and at the podium he said, Trent McDuffie knows he doesn't have an interception. He is aware 100%. That he's still seeking the first one. Why is it so important for you to that start becoming your game? Because obviously the fumbles are there.
Yeah.
You're forcing some important turnovers still, and those count the same. Why the interception so important?
Man, I think a big thing, and I know Coach Spags harps on this all the time, is turnovers. And, yeah, fumbles are great, but I feel like for my position, in order for me to make a game-changing play, in order for me to – do something different on the defense that it really sets up our offense, that's interceptions. And I think that goes for momentum changes. I think that goes for, shoot, running it back for pick six. I mean, for me, that's just something that I mean, each and every day I'm working, every day trying to do, telling Pat, yo, just throw me the ball. Like, I really want to work on trying to get my hands on that ball.
He said the other day that he didn't even touch it that much. It's the same as regular quarterbacks. Man, he's like, it's not worth the work.
Right?
You're making it too hard on quarterbacks. You got to tempt him into throwing.
Yeah, you know, I be trying to bait Pat. It's hard baiting Patrick Mahomes. I'll tell you that because he knows our defense. But every now and again, whenever I'm able to, you know, get a ball against him, it's always great. That's why I love one-on-one so much. I mean, you know that you're going to get a great play on the ball.
To that point, though, in season, I mean, we were talking that at times the interceptions, how much is it that guys just aren't throwing your way, man? You're kind of locking things down, and so they're not even trying to test you. I mean, is that frustrating, but also is that you get satisfaction out of that, knowing they don't even want to throw your way?
Yeah, you know, it's a little happy medium, you know what I mean? I think one part, yeah, you know, I'm doing my job right. Nobody wants to throw me the ball. But on the other side, I mean, when they do throw me the ball, I feel like any chance I do get where the ball comes my way, that should be a pick. So just trying to find that balance of not trying to be too hard on myself, doing my job, but also being like, yo, no. Like,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back to school season. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Like, you're a ball player. Go make those plays.
We don't want to be offended for you, but we were watching the NFL Top 100. Your exclusion seems of note. Like, what did you think about when you see, like, your peers recognize you as an all-pro in a year where, you know, like, maybe the interceptions aren't there. They might look towards that.
Right.
Is it hard to, like, keep fighting for those things? Do you find motivation in those things, like, if you're being excluded off of this list or that list?
Honestly, no. Not at all. I could honestly care less what... anybody outside of people on my team, people in my community, people in my family really care. And, I mean, yeah, you can say it could be motivation. You know, you want to be top whatever, top this and that. But, man, at the end of the day, if I'm out there doing my job and we're winning football games, that's all I really care about.
We got Trent McDuffie joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. You mentioned community. I'll back up again. 2 years ago, you were still trying to get used to KC. I think with the Chiefs in-house video department, you went to Q39. You were trying a bunch of barbecue and everything. Now you're settling in the KC. So overall, what's the biggest thing you learned or maybe you didn't know when you were here 2 years ago?
Man, just the people. I mean, I said this 2 years ago. Coming from West Coast, you know, California, big state, L.A., you know, not everybody knows everybody. But out here, I mean, shoot, when I talk about just genuine love, you know what I mean, about a community who cares, who supports, who is there when you're down and there when you're up. I mean, just being a part of this community has just taught me so much in terms of just patience and also just giving back. You know what I mean? Everybody's so supportive here. So being able to just come out here and sign autographs, I mean, take pictures with fans, I mean, just allowing them to be a part of this football team that they love so much, is special. It's really unique.
When you so fans, we always give them a chance to be like, hey, what do you guys want to hear from Trey McDuffie? The one of the questions we got asked by a lot of people is just how fast is Xavier Worthy? You've been up against Tyreek and others. Where does he rank among some of the fastest guys you've played against?
He's up there. He's up there. I mean, you know, Tyreek's Tyreek, but if you don't put your hands on Xavier Worthy, that boy is gone. There's no catching up. I'll say that much.
It just feels like they've made a real point of trying to go deep. And that wasn't easy against this defense last year.
100%.
So do you guys take that as like that challenge too? Because that was something you guys did well. You made people earn it the way their offense made them earn it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, we've talked about that a lot, especially on the back end. Like, you look at that offense, you got 4-2, 4-3, 4-2, 4-3. You got guys who are rolling, and you got 1-5 back there who can make any throw on the field. So coming out here first couple of days when you just seen Pat just launching the ball, we're like, okay, whoa, slow down. Like, let's get back to our basics. Like, let's do what we do on the back end and just let everything else sort out. So I think it's been a great challenge, but also it's something that we love. You know what I mean? You're not going to get any better work than what we're having right now against this offense.
We know you're a Washington guy. You play for the Huskies, and also something that changed quickly in 2 years. If I would have told you 2 years ago you guys would be in the Big Ten,
right?
You would know, what are you talking
crazy
about? What are you talking about?
Sense.
What are you making the move?
Oh, man, I'm excited. You know what I mean? I think the college football playoff expansion's good. And I just think being able to put UW on the map like that is going to be huge. I mean, we've had great competition in the Pac-12, but being able to go against guys in the Big 12, Big 10?
Yeah, Big 10.
Big 10. Man, you got some great schools over there. So just that competition and just seeing how guys play out, you know what I mean? That West Coast, the East Coast, all those flights, everything like that, that's going to be a big part of it. So be able to see guys adjust and compete, I think it's going to be really exciting.
Do you wish you were there for the heyday of NIL?
No,
I'm don't want to deal with that?
I'm good with that. I mean, I was there the first year NIL came out, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to just chill. I don't know any of the rules. I don't want to get caught up in it. Like, I was going to make my money in the league.
Okay, so we're talking to Trip McDuffie, the Chiefs corner here. We always do a little, like, internet snooping, trying to get to know you.
Yeah.
What are the things you do outside of football? The only thing I ever see you post about is football. Are you a big reader? Do you work on – like, what do you do outside of the game?
Big reader for sure. Love movies. I mean, sure, I'm always at the movie theaters. You'll get out at the movie theaters last
time. Were you watching Deadpool or something?
Yep, Deadpool.
Okay, I wasn't. I want to go see it.
It was good. I thought it was really funny. I'm a Deadpool fan, so I really enjoyed it. And seeing Wolverine come back, I mean, it was legendary. But man, movies, reading, hanging out with the family, play a little bit of piano. I mean, I'm one of those guys who's in the house. You know what I mean? I don't really go out. When I get an off day, I'm like, let me come chill. Let me just relax, kick the feet up. So anything that I can do that I can just relax and chill, I mean, I'm really with that.
I think off-season to be the stir-crazy time, you know?
Yeah,
that's when
definitely.
You're like, I got to find some more things to
100%.
Do.
100%. That's when my mind starts going a little crazy because I'm like, oh, wait, I can't just sit in the house for 2 months. You know what I mean? Let me get outside.
We saw one of your teammates, Hollywood Brown, has a new sandwich over at Q39. It's called the Hollywood Rib Sandwich. I don't know if you've seen this.
I think I have.
So the question is, what's the sandwich for you if you had one created, and what's the name? But this is the sandwich, I guess, that he's got going.
Okay, they actually look fire.
Yeah, it does look good.
See, I'm a big burnt end fan, so I gotta have burnt ends on mine. I'm not a pickles fan, but everybody I know loves pickles. So for y'all, I'll put the pickles on there. Hella barbecue sauce. And that's pretty simple. You know what I mean?
How spicy do you like? You like a little spicy barbecue?
Yeah, definitely spicy barbecue. Okay. Yeah, definitely hot sauce, spicy barbecue, that kind of stuff. Get your mouth burning. But something simple that you can just grub, eat any day, anytime.
Appreciate it. Trent McDuffie, Chiefs corner, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. Good to have you on the show, man. Best of luck.
Appreciate you guys.
There you go.
Good
Trent McDuffie. Our Chiefs interviews from Chiefs Camp brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip today. And as you can imagine, Trent McDuffie, a very popular Chief here among Chiefs fans, shouting his name, trying to get some autographs post-practice. And, yes, he did get his red Chiefs colored snow cone as well. Yeah, the sandwich the Hollywood Brown has, it looks pretty good.
It does look good.
Sandwich, grilled smoked pork ribeye, a little shaved onion. What's the McDuffie sandwich called, though? We had a wrap up there.
Oh, you know what?
What are you calling that thing? Just the McDuffie?
Yeah, I guess that could be it. He didn't specify a name for it, right? So I guess you would just go with the McDuffie. What was Hollywood's called?
Just the Hollywood rib sandwich.
Okay, well, yeah, I just say the McDuffie burnt ends. Right? He said he wants. He said he's a big Burnt In fan. By the way, how lucky for you. You might like barbecue anyway. Then you end up in the best Burnt In city on the planet. Like, if you like Burnt Ins, this is the. These are real Burnt Ins. You and I have talked about this. Other barbecue places in other cities try to purport.
They just cut it in cubes. That doesn't make it Burnt Ins.
No.
But that's in other cities you run into that.
They're lying to you. Don't let them lie to you. That's all I'm saying.
Someone says the Fluffy McDuffie. I don't know.
Well, I don't like that.
I don't
think he would have signed off on it. I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
That is not.
Thanks to Trent. He had no interest, by the way, in discussing him not being on the top 100 list. That is not something he worries about whatsoever.
He said, honestly, I don't care. I honestly believe him. The way he said it was
when you have the All-Pro and you've got the two rings, you probably care way less about that other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because of that, right? He's getting his recognition. He's an All-Pro. He's back-to-back champ. What is interesting to me will be at the end of the season, will he be consensus number one corner in football? Here we already talk about being a number two, number three corner in all of football, but will he be that? And if he gets the interceptions, which you can tell he's definitely...
Oh, he cares about that. That
he cares about. Getting his first pick, getting turnovers, he knows that's the next step, I guess, in his game.
It is. I mean, it's the only part of his game he doesn't execute. He's a perfect cover guy. He's played nickel and outside. He strips the ball. He does force some turnovers. But in 2 years in the league, he has no interceptions. Now, before that gets blown out of proportion, Sauce Gardner, who is another top-level corner in the NFL, he had zero last year. He's got two in his career, Gold. It's the elite-level guys, the NFL teams have started realizing throwing at them very often is not worth it. The price you pay to throw at them isn't a price worth paying. So do I think he needs to get seven interceptions now like Marcus Peters used to finish with every once in a while? No. But if he gets one or two, that is two games in which there's a massive swing play that they didn't have last year because he didn't get that interception. So it is still important that comes in. But that doesn't mean he needs to get five or six this year. He just needs to get on the board.
Yeah, it feels like it's one of the once he gets one kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden he's gonna have none of his first 2 years of his career. And he's gonna get one, let's say, in the opener against the Ravens, and he's gonna have one against Joe Burrow. You know what I mean? Against Cincinnati in week 2, it feels like they're, I don't want to say come in bunches, because you're not gonna, as you said, have seven or eight of them. But once he gets the first one, does the next one happen? Text line suggesting that there's got to be some barbecue name with corner burnt, like just
burnt
corn, like. But you don't want to get burnt.
yeah,
so I don't know. You don't want McDuffie's
never burnt ends.
McDuffie's burnt end. Yeah, that doesn't work because he's a corner.
McDuffie's never burnt ends, but it's burnt ends on the sandwich. It doesn't work.
Yeah, if it was a wide receiver like Xavier Worthy or something, Worthy's burnt ends or something, then you can...
Jackpot.
Different.
Perfect.
But anyway, Hollywood Brown has a sandwich, and that's why we're asking Trent McDuffie.
So if you're a local barbecue place who wants to create a sandwich, it sounds like burnt ends are what you need to go with for Trent McDuffie.
Catch 22 sandwich name.
Maybe.
So it's the McDuffie Slamwich.
Does he slam people?
I don't think so.
Again, if you were a defensive end or something.
Duff, cover 22. Someone just says cover 22.
Cover 22. That doesn't make any sense. I think that might as well just call it the McDuffie.
The shutdown sandwich.
Shutdown sandwich. I don't mind that.
Anyway.
That seems okay. This is a long practice today. Good thing these guys have got an off day tomorrow. I hope they get out of here relatively early. He was a man of his word. He was talking about like signing. He signed for some people here. He drove his cart all the way over to the opposite side of the field to get some of the people who maybe don't get autographs as often because they're up kind of on the berm over on the other side. I do think that embracing Kansas City goes a long way. But you hear that from the West Coast to the Midwest. You know this works. It feels different because everybody in Kansas City knows who you are and is happy to see you and is polite. And all of those things that come with kind of living in this city over the time I've been here. It's glad to see he's embraced it so much because there's a pretty good chance McDuffie is a 10-year pro here in Kansas City. I know they've let some corners go recently.
Yeah, we had the...
They've let Ward go and Snead go. I have a hard time imagining they'd let Trent McDuffie go.
We had that conversation a day or two ago, just that other than Jones and Kelce Mahomes, and whether you're talking about buying jerseys and all that, of who could you buy a jersey of that has a chance to be here 10 years from now? Maybe Creed Humphrey, and then I think Trent McDuffie would be the next answer.
They'd
be the next answer. You can't really say, say it's anybody else necessarily, just the nature of how the NFL and free agency works. Remember how many guys are not on this team from the first Super Bowl
Correct. That
this group won, and that's all you need to know.
There's only four guys left from that Super Bowl.
It's like Winchester, Butker, Mahomes, Kelce, Chris
and that was
Jones.
Like, what, 6 years ago? Wasn't that? I mean, it's a long time in football terms, but not that long in life terms, and it's just, it's the same guys you just mentioned. It is Mahomes, Kelce, Jones, Winchester, is that it?
Butker.
Butker.
As well.
Is there anybody else missing?
That's
it. They'll be on their third punter. I always got to think like specialist. That's your best way to get to the number.
If you missed our conversation with Trent McDuffie, someone was asking, by the way, they said they missed it. Like, don't worry. Q will get it up eventually here on the Odyssey app and on 610sports.com if you missed our conversation.
We'll get a chance to hear it again at
with, Trent McDuffie. Plus, we will play it again in the 1 o'clock hour as well. Some better suggestions coming in here, okay? We have the McDuffie pick six. Basically, it's like, you know, you pick six items, but it's like a combo thing. You pick some items.
Oh, there you
Trent
go.
Trent in sandwich? Eh. Casey Prime McDuffie.
I like the pick six.
McDuffie Trent ends.
How many things did he have on his sandwich? Hold on. Bun, burnt in.
You mean Hollywood Brown?
So, no, Trent. He said burnt in.
Let's
say there's a bun, there's sauce, there's pickles. Two more ingredients and the pick six works.
Yeah. Pick six. These are the six ingredients he picked. The pick
yes,
six.
Yes, the
sandwich.
Pick six.
Some restaurant in town, get to work on that. Get to work on that. Holler Brown has a little deal with Q39 now.
Holler out to his agent. So I guess not Q39, but if you're a different. And one of the other barbecue joints just did a deal with
awesome.
A different with Hunter Renfro. So
well, that one's. Zard always does that with this different Royals player. It was
Hunter
Dozier
before. And somebody else before him, I think. But, yeah.
Yeah. Some stuff for him. Cole Harmon would be the answer. Another player to throw to that mix of the Super Bowl.
What? He wasn't here the whole time, so I have to, like, really think about his. When he started here versus when he fit, I think his rookie year was the first Super Bowl they won.
That's what they're saying, yeah.
But was he here for the second one?
Remember, because he left for the Jets middle of last season, or beginning of last season, then came back.
Then came back, okay.
So he technically has never missed the playoffs with the Chiefs.
That's fair.
He's been in every playoff. You know,
one half season where we had to slum it with the Jets. That's about it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's fair. I'll just check in. I couldn't remember which individual it was, but, yeah, that's fine.
All right, let's go back up the hill a little bit from us and hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. He spoke to the media, gave a little update on the injury front, and also discussed what is going on at left tackle right now.
Good work today. A lot of red zone work today. And, you know, that benefits you, obviously, an important situation there once you get inside that red zone to make sure you're accurate with all your assignments. So, anyways, with that, time's yours.
8 days to the first preseason. Game, kind of, how are you feeling overall about the team, specifically the offense?
Yeah, good. The guys are learning and working hard, and I think they'll be excited to play against somebody else other than themselves here. So,
anything specifically that impressed you about the red zone work today, Andy?
Well, when it goes back and forth like it did, that's a positive thing. So both sides challenged each other. It was all ones versus ones and two versus two. So it was good work against good guys and all. So,
what kind of progress have you seen up here, particularly since the pads have gone from Suamata to you?
Yeah. So Kingsley, you're saying? Yeah. It's a good try on the last name though. No. Yeah, that's right. Well, pronounce every syllable. You got it. You know, he's worked in with those starters, and he's doing a nice job there. He's working, number one, hard on the things that we're trying to teach him. There's a lot of new things that he's learning, and he's playing aggressive. So, and getting better every day. He's not taking steps back, which is important. He's getting to go against good players, which also is important. So, and competing there.
Playing all guard today before he left. I mean, is it fair to say Kingsley's your left tackle for now?
No, not necessarily. But it gives us a chance to let Wanye work a little guard. And, Andy moves those guys around. You saw Nyang in there last week, so Wanye got a shot at it this week or today. And it's not a permanent thing. That's not what it is. So it's just having a shot to get in there and see what we've got and what he can do there.
Any plans to move Kingsley around at all, or is he for now just?
Yeah, well, I think just being a rookie here, you probably leave him in one spot for right now, but eventually he'll be able to do all of it.
Andy, you were in the heart of camp, and obviously he wasn't here last year, but just what's it been like to watch Chris work day after day now that we're into the heart of camp?
Yeah, it's good. He's very disruptive when he's in there. But I like the way he's working. It's good to have him here. He brings energy. I mean, you guys know his personality. So he brings that every day. And he's playing good.
I'm going to ask Pacheco. Obviously, you don't have J.
Derek back this year. That third down back seems to be maybe perhaps more open. What's he asked to do pass protection wise? Obviously, we saw a rep with him today in Drew where he got pretty fiery, but
he's ready to be able to do all that. He's good with the protections. He's good with the technique and fundamentals. He can run all the routes. He's got great hands. So he can do that. Clyde can do that. I mean, we've got guys that can step in there and do it. Yeah.
Coach, last year, top 10 offense, top 10 defense. What do you need to do to build on that consistency so you have that balance between those two units?
Yeah, we need to get better. Just strive to get better, coaches and players. If you can just keep the hammer down and keep working and detailing your work and not worrying about what's going on a play down the way here, just focus on what your job is and get it done. Then you have a chance to get better. And so we've added some new things, and the coaches are working on detailing all of that, and the players are working hard to this point. They're working their tail off to try to master everything.
Andy, just with your evolution as a coach, I talked yesterday about his struggles with PTSD and
yeah,
how helping deal with that. Just not to try to point one out, but that, do you have experience helping players through that kind of thing and helping them through those mental battles like that?
Yeah, so it's real, first of all, and he's admitted it, which is, that's a positive. He knows. And he's willing to attack it. And so we've got help here for him with Dr. T, who spends time with him. So keeping us informed, and he does a great job with that. And then if he needs spotted, we spot him. You know, we take that, we're not firing him through things. We get it. And it's a serious deal. So, but I'm just glad that he's on board with that part. He's been great with it. Yeah.
Two quick ones. I guess Carson Wentz, how's he doing in the backup job? And then the team speed, how has that looked and kind of helped the team in training camp? So.
Yeah, Carson's done a nice job. Really like what I've seen from him. He's got a real good feel for the game. Smart kid, real smart, and has picked it up quickly. As far as the speed goes, it's good to have the speed, but you still got to be able to run the routes and do all those things. So those guys are working like crazy on it. You see them in there working on releases and working on the intermediate short routes. So it's not just about throwing the ball down the field. That's not you can't just do that in the National Football League. I mean, you got to be able to do the other things with it. Yeah.
Last two, Adam and Pete. Go ahead.
Andy, Trent McDuffie. Obviously, you guys like him. You traded up to get him in the first round, but has there been something about him in your 2 years here, or his 2 years here, that maybe you didn't expect, that you sort of learned about him?
Yeah, extremely smart, student of the game, and then is always in balance. You know, as receivers, we're trying to get the corners out of balance, especially if they're coming up and pressing you and doing all that, and he's always under control and in balance, and that's a unique characteristic that he has.
Last one, Pete. I don't know what does some of this stuff, but how tempting is Carson making it to maybe bring back a full-time fullback?
Yeah, I mean, Steele is doing a nice job with that. I mean, he's jumped in there and played fullback, and he's been banging it in there with what the fullback, what we ask him to do. And he's really not a fullback. I mean, you know, he can also do the other thing, but he's a big kid, and he's trying to make the team. So, he's had some real good snaps for us. I mean, it's been a surprise there. Yeah.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay, good.
Bye. Ago, speaking to the media, a couple updates on the injury front there at the beginning. You heard him mention Wanya Morris, why he was in the cart heading up the hill. Left shoulder is all we know. Hurt his left shoulder. Obviously, don't like to hear that. Not only because, you know, for him personally, dealing with a battle for left tackle, but out at practice today, Cody, we mentioned it a few times. They had him working at guard. He's kind of filling the Allegretti role, if you will. He's going to play everywhere. So hopefully it's something minor because they could use his versatility. They don't really have a ton of that depth versatility-wise on the line at this point. And then he was asked about Trent McDuffie, who joined us a couple minutes ago. Just like, has anything really surprised him about McDuffie?
Other than he's tremendous?
Yeah, I mean, he's as solid as there is. That's why we appreciate him coming on the show. I mean, it's one of the best football players in the league, an all-pro, even if he wasn't on the top 100 list.
Ludicrous. He said he didn't care. Yeah. And honestly, I think he meant it, because when we asked him if he cared about interceptions, he made
that's
it very
he
clear
about.
He does.
Yeah, that's what he cares about the picks.
Yeah, one of those things. I mean, look, it's all a little bit different on that end, but I thought Kingsley had already won the job. Andy Contrada.
What did you make of Andy's answer?
This is a classic coach lie. Mm-hmm. Andy's job sometimes, and I've made this very clear on the radio, sometimes in a job description for a coach or a manager is to lie to you. That's their job. They're to lie to you to protect somebody. They're not trying to make Wanya feel like he's out of the mix. Kingsley won the job. It seems fairly obvious he won the job. Week one against Baltimore,
it'll
be him at left tackle. The injury just makes it more of a sure thing, but it was already heading that way.
I'm with you. I think, you know, publicly he doesn't want to, you know, this early still in the camp.
Somebody.
He doesn't want to just flat out tell Wanya on August 2nd, by the way.
But
I already got no chance,
but
man.
But when he sits in his meeting with Andy Heck and Matt Nagy, and they're like, all right, so left tackle, and they're like, well, that's Kingsley. Start figuring something else.
Wanya Moore's going to play this year at some point.
Yeah, he will.
I mean, he's going to, whether, you know, because of the versatility, assuming this isn't a really serious shoulder injury, and hopefully it's not, he's going to play. You know, maybe spot starts at tackle because of a one game. Remember, Donovan Smith missed four games last year. You know, there could be a sequence where, you know, hope nobody gets hurt, but Trey Smith has to miss a couple games. All of a sudden, Wanya Moore is playing right guard.
Yeah.
You know, so he's going to have a role on this
Tooney's
team.
Coming off of surgery. I don't think we want to dismiss that either. So there's always something that could come up. He's a valuable member. I'm just saying he's not the starting left tackle.
I'm with you.
Truth
be told, when you draft Kingsley where you did, and you drafted him over Wanya Moore, this to me is the result you wanted.
Yes.
It would have been even more concerning if you're like, well, Wanya just looks way better than Kingsley. Like,
but sometimes that's the way it is. Like, I think there's people up in New England who think Joe Milton looks better than Drake May. Yeah,
well,
look, eventually they went to Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. Don't be stuck to your guns forever if it's going the other direction. So if Wanya was better, Wanya's better. I don't think that would have been the worst thing in the world. I just think to this point, Kingsley's outperformed him.
All our training camp coverage here in St. Joe is brought to you by our friends over at Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Up next, Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider. He is on set with us. Another week of practice. We'll catch up with him, see if he agrees with some of the things we had to say there and also what stood out to him on, I think, practice day 11 already from Chiefs camp. Next here on Cody and Gold.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.